All right. Hey, good morning. Welcome back. This is the I Am Sorry About Last Night podcast, part of the Social Podcast Network, www.socialpodcastnetwork.com. Local folks doing local podcasts. Good morning. September the 25th, 2025. Beautiful day here on the East Side. Hope it's great wherever you are at. It is Thursday. Back to work. Off yesterday. Great day to be off. Hung out with the wife. Went and visited my dad. Did a few this and that's. Hit the gym this morning, trying to keep that on the regular. I just feel better. I mean, it is like, it's funny, at my age, weird things start to become, I become proud of, right? One of them is, you know, not being on any medication, as silly as that is. When you get to be 57, most people, you know, I shouldn't say most people. There's several people that are on a daily dose of something. I do remember back in my life where I used to think medicine was really kind of cool and had no, didn't think twice about taking anything. I would take whatever was given to me. I would, you know, whatever they said, I believed. And I, you know, I believe most people, I think, have the right, in the right place, but whatever. I don't know. It's a big industry. So when I go to the gym and when I'm active in my life, I do feel better. And, you know, I sort of treat going to the gym, I sort of treat going to meetings, I sort of treat, you know, doing this podcast, recovery, exercise, health, eating well, all part of the job, not just a luxury, right? I'm grateful I can do it, but, you know, at this period of my life, it's really, you know, it's very important, especially recovery. There is nothing more important than recovery in my life, honestly. And that's how I feel from the heart. That's the way I want it. But if there's ever a time where I start to, you know, veer from that kind of thinking, I have to remind myself, if I don't go to meetings and if I don't stick with recovery, I will lose all, everything. And I don't want to lose everything. I don't even want to lose a little bit. Because I don't have that much. And it took a lot of work just to get the little bit that I have, right? It takes a lot of work to be normal. And I would consider our life pretty just normal. But there are a lot of people out there struggling. I shared about this yesterday, man. All you have to do is not drink. If drinking or drugging is your issue, lying, cheating. Turns out the biggest offender are the character defects. I said it yesterday. As long as I don't pick up a drink alcoholism is just another name on the list of character defects. As soon as I put the drink in my mouth, it slides over to a new category. Uncontrollable drinking, you know, powerlessness, all that other great spiritual stuff. But as long as I don't put the alcohol in my mouth, it stays in a whole different category, which is a list of character defects. Problem is all those other character defects, lying, cheating, gambling, stealing, whatever it is. They can bring us down. I think that's why it's important, right, that we work on those that list of character defects and shortcomings. But you know what? It is a great day. I don't know how I just went off on that freaking direction. But I'm grateful. Went to the gym. Feel really good. Getting excited. Getting ready. We're leaving for Mexico in a few. It'll be a few days. But, you know, it's on the radar and it's getting exciting. I did go to a meeting last night. One of the guys that I sponsor, I sat with, and he was supposed to come over on Sunday, and he was sick. And I saw him at the meeting last night. I'm like, "How you feel?" Well, I seen him walking across the parking lot. I'm like, "Dude, how you feeling?" "I got a terrible cough." I'm like, "Okay, here we go." All of a sudden, right now, we just went into cold and flu season, right? All of a sudden, everything was fine and dandy, and then all of a sudden, I just flipped a switch in my mind, cold and flu season. Shit, we're here. I said, "Well, I'm glad you're feeling better." And then we sat next to each other, and I mean, I'm not paranoid. I'm not, you know, not getting all pandemic-y. But I'm like, "Dude, I'm going to Mexico, so, you know, please don't cough on me." Oh, my God. It's crazy. Well, and, you know, and then, of course, you know, we all held hands during the prayer. And then I'm washing my hands. I'm in, you know, keep the germs off me mode until I get back from Mexico. And then I don't give a shit. But the good thing is I sort of have been sick. I was sick about 2 weeks ago with a little bit of a cold, nothing too severe. I probably shared that I didn't take any medication, just sort of let it roll. And I feel good. I felt fine. So But it was a great meeting last night. A buddy of mine celebrated 1 year of continuous sobriety, which is always, you know, amazing. Good job. I've known him for a while. I knew him, you know, our kid, his ex-wife used to work at the daycare where my kids went. And I remember talking to her, and she's like, yeah, my boyfriend or husband at the time, he was in jail. I was like, oh, my God. But he's getting out. I was like, oh, that's awesome. Right, right. And this has happened a couple of times, unfortunately. I've known people in recovery with significant others in jail. And there's always this kind of, you know, this plan, right? The exit plan, getting out of jail. What are we going to do? Meetings and all this. And then, you know, it sort of goes sideways. And I remember he was in jail, and then he got out and showed up to the program. And, you know, actually was, I think, doing all right. He's nice. He's a nice guy. Listen, well, I would say most people in jail, I don't know if a statistic, right? But I would say most people in jail are just good people that did a bad thing. I've always thought I was a good person. The bad things that I ever did, I was just a good person doing a bad thing, right? I don't think I was a bad person. And I think that's the way he was. And then another buddy of mine who is now dead was the same way. Good person, just caught up in doing bad things sometimes. But, you know, he got out and you know, went down the road of this and that and recovery and went back out and struggled and has gone back and forth. And then his sponsor died. His sponsor was lived two houses down from my old house. And one day there was an ambulance. We're like, well, what's going on down there? Well, his sponsor lived there, was renting a room, and died. No one really knows the story. I don't, you know, natural causes, I guess. But, you know, it's always, it makes you wonder. But, you know, Godspeed. And so I don't know if he sort of got lost on the path or whatever, but eventually would go back out and struggled for a little longer and then came back, right? I remember when he came back. We shared the same home group, and he came back, you know, it's great. You know, it is, it's awesome, right? It's awesome. I'm really proud of the guy. You know, it takes a lot to get to a year. It's a big deal, so I'm really proud of him. Message in a Bottle, The Police. Wow, great band. Yep, so he celebrated a year. Awesome. It is a, wow, I don't know. It's the, I remember my, March 31st, 1998, I celebrated my first year anniversary. And I remember the first thing, I remember this very distinctively, I remember thanking myself. Thank you, me, for getting us here. And as selfish as that is, and really pretty, you know, out of line. It wasn't out of line, but it wasn't lining up with my, you know, the journey I'm on today. It was very confusing. I am grateful to myself, right? I still had to drive myself there. I still had to walk my feet. I still had to raise my hand. I still had to participate. I still had to show up. And so for that, I was grateful. But just thinking about the person that I was when I came in here for the first time, and I have done a year, I have more than one-year coin, anniversary coins. I have three, I think. Well, I know I have three. I just don't know if I actually have them. But the first time I was very, you know, it was all about getting to the year. You know, it's like I remember early on hearing, yeah, when you finally get a year sobriety, you get to sit up front, you get a cake, and you get to sit up front and share your story. And it was like I had probably had 2 days of sobriety and heard that, and that's probably all I could think about for the next 363 days, right? I'm going to have to sit up front and say something. Self, self, self. But it has been an amazing journey, and it's been an amazing journey for this person. Unfortunately, you know, and I'm just going to be real here, and I like this guy, but I've seen hundreds of this guy, you know, the backpacks of books, saying all the right things, right? Doing all the right things, you know, great story, really. You know, he tells this story of his last couple days of being drunk, and it's so graphic. I have trouble listening to it. I'm like, Jesus. You know, he's so good, right, at painting the picture of absolute despair. And listen, good, right? That's great. And then, you know, does a wonderful share. And then at the end, his topic is the spiritual awakening. And I'm just like, right? Like, don't talk. I don't want to say that. And I don't want to become the anti-spiritual awakening because of the topic of spiritual awakening. But the reality is I don't like the topic because I don't particularly think the person is ready, has had it. I don't think. It's a lot to have a spiritual awakening. I remember asking my sponsor, how do you have a spiritual awakening? How do you find the spiritual awakening? And he said, when you stop searching. To find is to stop searching. And I was like, oh, okay. I'm not ready for that. I'll be back. But I understand it today, right? This is a battle between good and evil, self and humility, however you want to call it, yin and yang. And I think one of the biggest things ever said to me was that two spirits cannot exist in the same body at the same time. And I'm like, well, shit, what does that mean? And just that, you cannot seek out higher power. You can't seek, self can't be seeking, self can't be behind the wheel of the seeking vehicle, right? Whatever it is, self can't be behind to find something that's based in humility. It boiled down to that. It just is reality, and I don't know if I'm making sense, but you can't have Jesus or God in your heart and then still be seeking something. Because that's self. That's fear. Right? He who seeks is only because he's afraid of whether. I mean, when I seek out something, it's usually because I'm afraid I can't find it, or I'll never find it, or what if I never find it, or, you know, whatever. It's always self somewhere in there looking for this. It's like losing my car keys, right? Where are my keys? Why does it matter? Because I got to get to work. My whole world revolves around, you know, my car, unfortunately. I mean, you know, it's just an example. But self can't be behind seeking out humility. You can't, they don't work. And the only reason I can really talk about it is because I've been on the same freaking journey. I mean, one of the first things I heard was a higher power, a spiritual awakening. You know, I've talked about her before. I saw her son. Her son spoke. Him and I we've gotten sober together. We've been sober for a long time together. He shared. I couldn't share on it because I didn't want to be a Debbie Downer. Because I think anybody that sits up front with a year and says the speech that he had last night and all of the wonderful things, I just personally think he, and I love him, but it's full of shit. He just doesn't know. He's full of shit. But he's right where he's supposed to be, right? This is where we're supposed to be. And my buddy spoke and shared after him, after he shared, and he was like, I could tell he was trying to say, dude, you know, you need to just worry about going to meetings every day. Spiritual awakening, shmakening. It's very, it's a little bit, it's not easy because we are still full of self. But my buddy who shared, his mom, who I got sober with as well, she used to say it every time she spoke, I'm a spiritual being having a human experience that involves alcohol. Because she'd been sober over, 20-something years, 30 years. She knew the gig. And the gig is we're all spiritual beings. You know, we're all spiritual. You know, when a person is new or celebrating early recovery, it's all about seeking and finding the spiritual awakening. I have to go find it. It's somewhere. And if I don't find it, I'll never get it, and yada, 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 and this is bad, and it's all like fear-mongering, spiritual fear-mongering. But Libby used to say, man, we're all spiritual beings having a human experience, which means we're spirits that somehow ended up in bodies, right? We're spiritual beings having a human experience that involves alcohol. The spirit is us. And, you know, it is just, it's not that it's not here. It's just that it's covered and blocked out by so much selfishness, devil, evil. We're possessed. I was possessed by a spiritual being. Unfortunately, it was not a good one. It was a devil. I lived a life of self. I didn't care. Many times I've said this. I did not care. What about this person's feelings? What about that person's car? What about this person's expectations? Don't care, don't care, don't care. I mean, I don't think I actually said that. But my behavior, my actions proved it, right? My whole life those days was all fear, you know, of the cops getting caught, getting who's trying to turn us in, who the school was going to call. It was all just, what a fucking toxic time. It's hard enough being a young person, but to be that, have that much toxic bullshit in my backpack was rough. But a lot of people, especially newcomers, come in because they have a drinking problem. Really, you got to have I get caught too much problem. Self isn't really on the radar yet. And to have 1 year and then want to be talking about the spiritual awakening, and I think he said he's had it. I don't particularly think we ever have a spiritual awakening. I think we have moments of peace, love, and free of fear. You know, my first spiritual awakening was when I drove home from my first meeting. And I was like driving down the highway, and it was like after 9, right? Back in those days, all the meetings were at 8. And it was after 9, and I'm driving down the highway, and I'm not drunk, and I had this place of peace, love, free of fear. You know, this was a guy that drove drunk every freaking night. And for the first time in I don't know how many years, I'm driving down the highway, and I'm not afraid. And I was at peace. And that, my friends, is a spiritual awakening. Right. I use the example so many times about the Corvette. You know, if a spiritual awakening is a Corvette, I come over, I say, here's your spiritual awakening. I'm putting it in the garage. I'm putting it in your driveway. And then I take the keys and throw it in the garage. And then I fill the garage with boxes and shut the door. And your spiritual awakening is there, but you cannot use it because you cannot get to the keys. And that's what the 12 steps of the program do. It allows us to slowly, one by one, get the door open and go through the boxes. You know, how can you have a spiritual awakening if you're a liar? Right? How can you have a spiritual awakening if you're a cheater? But you're not cheating in line in the hour of the meeting. You look like a freaking superhero. But the reality is that are we better publicly and privately? Have we worked on our character defects and our shortcomings publicly and privately? I don't know. The other thing that bothers me about this young man is that he chooses to use his last name. And his fucking sponsor was there last night. And listen, really nice guy. Very smart. He, you know, I know where the apple doesn't fall far from the tree, right? He uses his last name. I don't think there's ever an exception to use your last name. The only reason there's an exception is when the person thinks it's a good idea. And that, my friends, is self. The second word of this program, Alcoholics Anonymous, is anonymous because this is an anonymous program. And when people decide that they're going to use their last name, that's their good idea. It doesn't say, oh, and by the way, if you think it's a good idea, go ahead and use your last name. Because people that do that kind of stuff are only thinking of themselves. They are not thinking of the other people that are now thinking, why are they using their last name? So as soon as I hear someone use their last name, I'm like, and this fucker's got another good idea, and I'm not into it. I lose the whole freaking message. It all becomes a sideshow, and I'm just, it's unfortunate. And the fucking worst part about it is his sponsor used his last name too. I don't get that. But then, listen, it is a, and, you know, and I talked about, you know, not wearing shoes. My friend that's, you know, I'm a spiritual being having a human experience that involves alcohol. She went through this period where she didn't wear any shoes. I'm like, I don't understand why she doesn't wear fucking shoes. Right? But it was her journey. She was going through her journey. I am not, I have no problem with sitting back and let people figuring it out. That's what the greatest part of this program is. And I wanted to share last night, but I'm afraid that I would have sounded like a bummer. And I don't want to sound like a bummer because I think it's amazing. Your sobriety is awesome, man. And he does have a great story, and I really like this guy. But I think where I get a little annoyed is that I also would like him to stay sober. Yeah, you know, I'd like him to see him, you know, do, you know, be sober 5 years, be sober 10 years, right? Be the next old timer, be the next guy that the new people come to for advice, right? Don't have all the answers. Don't be so quick that you're like a professional. I've seen a fucking ton of them come and go. Backpacks full of books. I, you know, every single book, every, you know, the calendar for people's anniversaries, you know, whatever it is they can do to get involved in to make themselves feel part of. And then it always ends up not being enough. And they stop coming. You know, whether it's the guy with the flavored creamer, it's my old buddy Dave who used to have a backpack of every single AA literature that there was. You got the guy with the big book and the leather case. You know, everything that there is to show how much you are sober, and it isn't enough. It's just not enough. It's fear. It's peace. It's, yeah, it's a journey. And I love watching it, and I'm grateful that they're celebrating a year, but... You know, to talk about the spiritual awakening, especially in a group of people that really not many of those people, I don't think, have really worked the 12 steps and have found serenity in their life. It's a tough topic. You know, someone said, and I've said it on this show, this podcast before, if it took 10 years to walk into the woods, it takes 10 years to walk out of the woods. And I believe that that is absolutely true. I have shared in this podcast, I've been doing this podcast for a few years now. And I really feel like I just started having this spiritual awakening just recently. Right? And I'll celebrate 17 years this year. And it's really been, I drank for 12 years. It's really took me about 12 years to have a real spiritual awakening. It took me about 12 years to walk back out of the woods. And, you know, like I said, the spiritual awakening to me are these moments. Early recovery, you know, just amazed I'm not drinking. Pink cloud, you know, that's all the spiritual awakening. It lasts for a little bit, but self does find its way back into our lives, and the peace and the love and the free of fear fades. And then we're dealt with being sober, right? Being not drinking and dealing with life on life's terms, right? That starts to become a tough time. But going through the steps, we start to find some peace, right? And today, for me, I've had a spiritual awakening, but it's based on how good I'm living my life. You know, the spiritual awakening to me is a byproduct of living good 12-step living. And it's really good 6- and 7-step living, if I'm going to be fucking quite honest. Because it seems to be the 6- and 7-step that create fear. It's our character defects. It's our public and private thoughts. It's a tough topic to talk about private thoughts. It is, you know, I don't even want to talk about it. It's usually the ones that fucking bring a lot of people down. But listen, I have to be real with it. And, you know, it's usually, if those sort of thoughts still exist, it's hard to have a relationship with God. It's hard to have a spiritual awakening. But over time, we get a little bit better. And over time, we start using that third step more and more in our life, and we start to understand how the third step works in our life, and we start seeing the results. Maybe I'm not going to, you know, behave that way or make this call or, you know, flirt or whatever it is, right? I don't, you know, to each his own, but, you know, flirting that, you know, I think as a man, I'm not going to say all men are this way, but I remember as a young person, you know, it was always fun to flirt with girls, even married. You could flirt. You just, you know, you can't touch, right? And I remember doing that. I remember flirting with girls while being married, as bad as that is. But always knowing, you know, I am married, but always, you know, kind of having a line in the lake, you know, in case you got a big bite. You know, today I don't flirt. I just know better. It ain't worth it, right? I go to this taco place with my buddy Ben, and he's like, "That girl likes you." And I go, "I don't care. I'm married. I'm happy. I love what I have." Right? I don't want to flirt. Now, you know, granted, it is, I think that's recovery. It's spiritual awakening. It's, you know, having a relationship with God. And plus, I just also am just getting old. Right? I've been down the path. I know better. You know, continue to take personal inventory, and when we're wrong, promptly admit it, and then stop doing it. And that's, you know, that's really where the peace and the spiritual awakening comes up. And, you know, the guy that celebrated last night, I remember my buddy was asking him, because he was going to go out with some chick, and he said, "Oh, should you be getting in relationships within the first year of recovery?" And he said, "My sponsor said it was fine, so I'm going to listen to what my sponsor said." I mean, is it? I don't know. I had a relationship in my first year, and I drank again. I'm not sure if it was the date or the unwillingness to follow the rules, because my sponsor did say within the first year you shouldn't have any big events like new girlfriends, going to college, new jobs, all that, which I did all of them. I had a lot of trouble listening. But yeah, anyway, I'm running out of time. But, you know, the spiritual awakening for me, it's one day at a time. And it's all based on me being honest and doing the hard work and not, you know, doing stupid shit publicly and privately. If I have a good day, I haven't said anything or behaved in any way, and I sit down at the end of the day, I have peace and I'm free of fear. I'm not concerned about anything. And it's been that way for a long time. But back in the day, I would say things and do things, and I constantly had this little bit of worry hanging over my head. Is the shoe going to fall today? And I don't have that. And so for that, I have a spiritual awakening, and it's pretty freaking awesome. It just doesn't have to be covered by boxes of self-centered stuff. All right, let me read the daily reflection. The time is, it's ticking. The time is ticking, and I don't want to make it too late here. Let's see. All right, first things first, September. First things first. Sorry. First things first, September 25th. Some of us have taken very hard knocks to learn the truth. This truth, excuse me. Some of us have taken very hard knocks to learn this truth. Job or no job, wife or no wife, we simply do not stop drinking so long as we place dependence upon other people ahead of dependence on God. That's right, man. Alcoholics Anonymous, page 98. Before coming to AA, I always had excuses for taking a drink. She said, he said, I got fired yesterday. I got a great job today. No area of my life could be good if I drank again. In sobriety, my life gets better each day. I must always remember not to drink, to trust God, and to stay active in AA. Am I putting anything before my sobriety, God? And AA today... Am I putting anything before my sobriety, God, and AA today? Well, if you are, you're probably, you know, that's probably going to keep you from having the spiritual awakening. Hey, thanks for letting me share. I hope everyone has a great day. I'll catch you later. Bye.